Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you.
Now, from the Savage Studios, this is the Savage Empire with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is the Savage Empire. Thank you for coming back. Always glad to have you. 3-5. That's where we currently sit. And honestly, it's well deserved. Judge battling general soreness. Six games into the season. Has to be sat for a couple days. Comes back yesterday, looks like his old self. I just don't get it. Herman looked untouchable in the spring. First two starts, 9 ERA. I just don't get it. Bullpen has been mostly good. A little bit of a hiccup here and there. Cole is as advertised. Tylon, I don't know what to expect yet. He looked pretty good. Gave up those two solo shots, but whatever. I'm not going to judge him off of one start. Kluber off of two starts. I don't know what to expect either. I feel like if he can't hit his spots, then he's going to get hit. Montgomery goes later on today. In his second start, he looked great in his first start. Hopefully, he continues that success against Tampa. We need it because we've looked totally outmatched again by Tampa, who just continuously, since last year, is a pain in our ass. The team that just seems to turn into Superman every time we play them. Gave up 10 runs in game one. And then, we only gave up 4 yesterday. But we could not muster any offense whatsoever. And keep an eye on this because I feel like this is going to start to happen. Okay. Clint Frazier was not in the lineup yesterday. Brett Gardner started. Made an incredible defensive play. Listen, you know how I feel about Gardner. I do love him. When he plays, I cheer for him. But him being in the lineup over Clint Frazier. Now, I'm hoping it's just a general day off. Clint needed a day. He's been struggling. But I don't want to see it slowly turn to where Gardner starts getting more playing time than Clint. In left field. Unless Clint's playing in right. Because Judge is out of the lineup. Anything short of that, I'm going to get really upset. And you guys should too. Let's be honest. Gardner should only be playing as the fourth outfielder when there's days that need to be off. But if he's going to slowly start getting playing time, regardless if he's hitting or not, and we know he can be streaky, but it shouldn't come at Clint's expense. So I'm just, I'm throwing it out there now. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm not being a Gardy hater. I'm being realistic. He is here to be the fourth outfielder. Some of you people want him to start. And to me, that's insane. He's 38 years old. We have an uber-talented player in Clint Frazier who's finally getting the chance to start. He's going to go through his struggles, but we have to let him go through his struggles. A day off here and there is fine. But anything more than that, he starts losing playing time and he starts getting a little bit frazzled because, you know, he's got to watch out for Gardner over his back, then we wasted money bringing Gardner back. And how about Talkman, the guy that we all couldn't wait to get rid of, right? Comes in, plays exceptional defense. They're bringing him in earlier than Gardner the other day to pinch run. And then he ends up scoring on a double from first to home, an incredible slide. Yeah, I know Gardner told him where to slide. But he's not an idiot. He looks healthy. And to me, what have I been saying? He is the cheaper Gardner. He's left-handed. Occasional pop. Can play all three outfield positions. Has speed. And he's cheaper than Brett Gardner. Why do you think they kept him and didn't move him in the offseason? I'm sure they could have gotten something for him. A fourth outfielder. I'm friends with Philly fans that were talking to me about trying to get this guy. What do you want for him? Well, you know, of course, they're trying to give me their worst players. And I'm like, Girardi would turn Talkman into a hell of a player. But it's just, I just don't get it. A story definitely to be following, for sure, on this team. We'll see what the lineup is later, but start thinking about it. I would, you know, honestly, I kind of expect Judge maybe not to be in today's lineup again. I guess they played him yesterday. Maybe they DH him today and give Stanton off to try to shuffle this lineup a little bit. 3-8. It's not good, folks. The offense is really the main reason. The defense has been pretty bad itself, too. Especially with the play of Gleyber Torres. Now, he is supposed to be a natural shortstop, and I believe he can make the play. He can make the play. Is he going to make the spectacular play? Probably not. Can he make the play if it's hit to him? He should. That's his natural position. But ever since last year, I don't know if it's a mental lapse. He has been horrible. He could field the ball. Most of his errors have been throwing errors. Now, he has to realize one thing. Two things, actually. One is, he has to plant his feet and throw a fucking bullet. Enough with this fucking winging it there. Just lobbing it in kind of bullshit. And two, Jay Bruce has been horrible at first base. This experiment needs to end. Horrible. He could have saved them a couple of errors, but you have to realize that he is not a first baseman by trade. He is a first baseman by force. Because he's had some years there. Not full seasons. And they like his glove. Well, really, he's in the lineup for his bat, but he's batting 100. Let's look at it here. He is batting. His stats are, I'm going to scroll all the way to the bottom here. Okay, here it is. Jay Bruce. 3-27. 3 runs, 1 home run. That was wall scraper. 3 RBIs, 5 walks, 10 strikeouts. All right, that's second on the team right now behind Aaron Hicks, and we'll get to him in a minute. All right, he has a 111 batting average, 250 on base, 222 slugging, 472 OPS. That's putrid. He has played in all 8 games. Him, DJ, and Gleyber have not had a day off. Gleyber has had 32 at-bats, 7 hits, 1 run, 1 double, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts. 219 average, 286 on base, 250 slugging, 536 OPS. That's horrible. And it's only 8 games. I know it's only 8 games, but Glaber and Hicks and Bruce just seem to be up in the most important moments so far in these games, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel that way? Now, LeMahieu is starting to come alive. And I'm not worried about him. You aren't worried about him. There's no reason to be concerned. He's starting off a little slow, but he's starting to round in the form. Glaber, we know, is a phenomenal hitter. And I expect him to hit. And I'm not all too worried about him either. But Bruce is a liability at first. And he is a nothing at the plate right now. Why is he out there? Now, they traded for Rougned Odor, who we all know is the guy who beat the shit out of Joey Bautista a few years back. That's all anybody's ever going to remember from this guy. He has home run pop. He can play second, third. I think he's had some first base in his career. I expect him to get some playing time, possibly starting today. Now, what they might want to do is you play him at second and you move DJ to first and you give Bruce a day off. I don't know how many times they're going to want to do this, but Bruce cannot be in the lineup right now. He has been garbage. And it was a good story. But, you know, if he's not being stellar defensively while Voit is out, and he's certainly not hitting because he's a big lefty bat and we need the lefty home run, why is he playing? We can get that from Ford, and Ford is a natural first baseman. He's not the greatest defensive first baseman, but I'll tell you what, he'd have picked that ball that Glaber threw to him. And we already have a Ford on this roster. He's a lefty bat who can hit home runs occasionally. I don't know if he'd be batting 111. He might be batting a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse. But the defense would certainly be better. Now, of course, this is game 8 and everything can change on a dime. That's baseball season, but I don't know. How many more games can we keep going out there doing this? Now, it's early. We're only a couple games back out of first place, and it's the Red Sox. So, it's overreaction time. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't be slightly concerned. Now, I have no doubts that this team is going to go on a tear. They always do. But then your mind starts to wander. You start to wander till the end of the year. You start to wander to years past with this current core. And you start to wonder, is this a sign of things to come like it has been the last few years? Can't get the big hit. Pitching can only hold on for so long. Rinse and repeat. It's something to keep in mind because unless this team turns it around, unless this team starts to make moves, I don't know what's going to happen. So let's go to the news and notes, and then we're going to talk about what this team needs to do going forward, short term and possibly long term. All right, we'll start with the injury news. I'm sure you've all heard this before, but it's been a while since I've recorded, so bear with me. I need to catch up as well. Luke Voit to return in May, and May can't get here soon enough, folks. Bruce is, like we said, Bruce has been horrible. I don't know. And Voight's recovering from his knee. And hopefully he should be basically playing catch-up training, getting ready probably. Well, if he's going to be here by May, should be sometime next week, I would imagine he would start ramping up baseball activities. Nothing new on Zach Britton. I know that Clark Schmidt's on the 60-day, so won't even see him for a few months. New York Yankees, most valuable franchise in Major League Baseball. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to read this. Okay, just a little bit here. Major League Baseball teams are up in value by 3% from 2020, per the annual report from Forbes. Baseball's 30 clubs are now being valued at all-time high of $1.9 billion. The Yankees saw a 5% bump from $5.25 billion at top of the list. They are not only the most valuable franchise in baseball, but one of the top three most valuable franchises in North America, along with the Cowboys and the Knicks. How about that, the Knicks? Ugh. Fucking Dolan. I tell you, he sucks at running the Knicks. Good at running the Rangers. But, man, he makes his franchises valuable. Unbelievable. Despite the operating losses many franchises suffered because of the pandemic, the long-term values were buoyed by the sale of the Mets and the valuation of the Boston Red Sox with their pending private equity deal. Ozanian reports that revenue was down 65% in 2020 as teams lost $1.8 billion after raking in $1.5 billion profit the year prior. So really, would they lose $300 million? On an average, and we're crying for these billionaires. Folks, I'm not going to make a political statement. I'm just going to state the obvious here. If you remember last year, that the Yankees, although did some good things in the community in terms of the businesses that surround the stadium, with supporting them, you know, like stands and other people like that. Great. Outstanding. They did let go of a lot of employees last year. They made profit last year in a year that had no fans. Think about that. And yet they cut payroll and furloughed employees, basically telling them, we just can't afford to pay you. Yes, you can. And it should have been the right thing to do. And even if it doesn't make the news as a puff piece, it's still the right thing to do. If your employees are your family and they're the lifeblood of your business, you pay them. You saved money on the player's salary. You had no minor league season. And you should have taken care of those guys. But there are people who work for the organization that are just like you and me, who were either sent home, obviously everybody was working from home, or just put on the unemployment line until further notice. Don't call us, we'll call you. Meanwhile, raking in record profit. There's just something wrong about that to me. If I was Hal, and you're going to eat it anyway, because you're not making anything in terms of ticket sales. TV money, I'm sure, was there. Merchandise probably went down, I'm sure, because nobody's in the stadium buying anything at record prices where you can get it cheaper online. But there's no doubt everybody lost money. No doubt. But they didn't lose as much money as we thought they did. And you still made money. How do you make money in a pandemic season, a 60-game season, where no fans were allowed in the games? Obviously, money is made from not spending money. But if you saved on production costs, you saved on operating expenses, travel expenses, you only had to put up hotel and airfare for the team, you know, for half the game, for 30 games, and then the playoffs. Money saved is money earned, I guess. But tell that to your employees that you had to put on the breadline. Now, I'm sure hopefully they're all back and things are back to normal and everything is all good. But, you know, it leaves a funny taste in my mouth. Let's just put it that way. Okay, back to the news. Yankees signed Mike Montgomery to a minor league deal. Don't know why. Pitching death, I guess. When they traded for Odor, they put Tyro on waivers. That was a surprising move to me. You know I love Tyro. And if it came down to it, I'd rather them put Wade on waivers than Tyro. Wade's only, and we'll get to Wade, believe me, because Yankee Twitter was very excited yesterday, but we're at Tyro. If Tyro was as good as shortstop as Tyler Wade, he would be on this roster right now. And Tyro could hit. I just think he needed more playing time. I know he's young, and I'm sure he's already ended up on somebody's team. I doubt he cleared waivers. I'll have to check, but I doubt it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I didn't like the move. I thought I'm sure there's somebody that they could have fucking dropped other than him. That was a weird move to me. I don't know. I'm not sure people really fully honed in on that. That's a potential loss, in my opinion. But Cashman knows more than I do. Yankees were vaccinated the other day. Not sure if every single player was vaccinated or every single coach, but the organization as a whole was vaccinated. And I don't remember the dude's name, but Kay had on the president of Montefiore on the broadcast the other day and his show the following day. And let me tell you, I get vaccinations are a hot topic with some people, and I have not gotten mine yet. I will. I live in Pennsylvania, and I think finally now it's opened up where I can go get it. So I will be making an appointment. But my major concern with the vaccinations were, did they rush it? What are going to be the side effects of this? I'm not a conspiracy guy. This isn't a political thing for me. There isn't, you know, a right or left thing. Vaccinations and every pharmaceutical that people take out there, these things usually take years. All right, when you get a prescription pill or something like that, that's usually like a decade-long thing from start to finish. Now, the vaccinations took less than a year to figure out. And my girlfriend works for a company that actually makes the vaccines. So maybe I know a little bit more than the average person about this. But at the same time, There's nothing sinister about it that I've, you know, seen. Most people I've talked to who've already gotten the vaccination, it's just their major complaint is soreness in the arm, and that's expected. Everybody gets that. Like I said, my major concern was these things were rushed, and what is going to be a side effect and or a long-term effect? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Or do I take my chances? My family takes their chances with trying to avoid COVID the same way I have been avoiding it all year, or my family has all year. Now, like I said, I'm going to get the vaccination. We've made up our mind to do so. But it wasn't until the doctor came on the case show the next day, because he was able to further explain and put my fears to rest. Now, he did talk about them as what it is to my fears. LaGreca had asked him about people who feel like this was rushed. And he gave a great answer. And I don't know if it's a politician's answer. Is it bullshit? I don't know. But it put me at ease. Because he said that these vaccinations are not rushed. That these things have been in the works for years. Now, conspiracy theorists, I'm sure, will put that spin in any way they can, and who's to say? I don't know. But in terms of, it's a mixture of other vaccines. Now, I know that the one vaccine comes from what they use to fight the bubonic plague. So it's aspects of that tweaked in certain ways to fight COVID. So now, that's what these things are. See, I'm not a scientist, so bear with me. They're not, we'll make this into like a cooking reference. They're ingredients that they have for other things that they tweak to make it into what they have it now for the COVID vaccine. If you catch me, if you're following me here, that's all it is. Do they know that it's 100%? They have no idea. Is it going to get us to where we need to be? Short term? I hope so. I think so. Seems to be headed that way. People have been taking the vaccines for months, and some people who were the test subjects have been taking it for a year. So I recommend you get the vaccine. It's up to you. Everybody has the right to do what they want. I'm not going to tell you. All I'm saying is, for me and mine, we're getting ours because the doctor put my fears to rest. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the Case Show. ESPN has their podcast, and you can find the interview under the Case Show. I recommend you listen to it. And if he doesn't put you to ease, as I drop my phone, if he doesn't put you to ease, then I don't know what will. Okay? That's just my opinion. You do what you want. That's my 2 cents. So the day after they got their COVID shot, Gio had a reaction, which is common. Some people have a reaction to the vaccine. And he needed a day off. And then he came back yesterday, so all is well. Justin Wilson has been activated from the injured list, pitched yesterday, made his debut, had one hit batter, two strikeouts, look good. I think he's going to be fine. Now, what's his name? It's hard to pronounce his name. Lucas Luque, you know who I'm talking about, the other lefty guy. It was a nice story. He made camp out of spring training, non-roster invitee. And he was the lefty in the bullpen, mainly because Wilson was out. But I think it's time to make moves. And it's time to get rid of him. He has pitched 5 innings, 7.2 ERA, 4 runs, 4 earned, 2 home runs, 6 strikeouts. He has strikeout ability. But he's going to be one of those guys you're not going to bring in high leverage situations. And with Justin Wilson back, kind of makes him expendable. Especially when a lefty reliever has to pitch a full inning unless he is the final out of an inning. And at some point, Britton will be back, and then we don't really need this guy. We have other options in the minor leagues. Domingo Germán was sent down after his 2 putrid starts. And I expect either King to come back, or finally, to bring back Garcia. Now, it depends on what they want. I see Michael King as a long relief guy. I don't see him as a starter. I think that's best suited for him right now in the pen. And maybe they drop Lucas Ligg and bring up Michael King. And Germán is down. They haven't made a corresponding move yet. I'm hoping it's Garcia. I think it should be Garcia. And we'll see what happens. That'll be announced today, I'm sure. But the best news of the day was that prior to Odor being placed on the 40 man or being placed on the main roster, Tyler Wade was optioned to the alternate site. And Yankees Twitter erupted with glee and joy. Well, almost everybody. Mrs. Tyler Wade was very upset. Her tweets were rated R. I'll give her credit to this. She is a true believer in the kid's talent. And I have always said he is a AAA All-Star, which means too good for AAA and shit for the majors. If that kid could just be an average hitter, he would be on any fucking team. He can play defense. He can play in the outfield if need be. He can play every infield position, probably except first. And there's room for players like that on every team. His problem is he can't hit worth a shit. And we'll look at his stats. He's played in 6 games, mostly as a pinch runner or whatever. He has 1 hit, 3 at-bats for a .333 average. That doesn't tell the story. 2 runs, 1 strikeout. It's basically garbage, but he, whatever reason, is like the guy that they can't get rid of. He is the little brother of the team where wherever the big roster goes, it's like Hal is the mother hen saying, don't forget your brother. And that's Tyler Wade. And I don't get it. And I don't want to shit on Tyler Wade. Everybody else does that. I like the kid. I've seen him play in Scranton a few times, and he has the ability, and I don't know, I don't understand why it doesn't translate to the majors. But the kid needs to either go back down, AAA is about to start soon, and start fucking tearing the cover off the ball. You leave no doubt that you belong in the majors. Or fuck all the way off. Because that's another one of these players that either they need to figure it out, have him up there, and he is a valuable player to this team, or end the experiment because he's just getting a year older and he has no trade value, basically. Maybe you can move him for something, a project. Hopefully you don't have to take money on to do so, but he's wasting away. And we don't need him to be a career minor leaguer. We kept this kid to be a valuable bench player. Can't even do that. He's so bad that his team has given up on him so much that our third baseman is now our backup shortstop. That they'd rather have Gio out there, who's just a sound defensive player. He's not going to be spectacular, and he's certainly not a better glove at short than Tyler Wade, I'm sure. But they'd rather have him out there than Tyler Wade. They're in a bit of a rut, and moves have to be made to jumpstart this offense. I expect that to start today. I expect them to have DJ playing first, Odor at second, Bruce off, Tyler Wade is gone, obviously. Glaber will still be at short, Gio will be at third. Not sure if they're going to run Judge out there 2 days in a row on that fucking turf. So I expect him to either be the DH and Stanton taking the day off, because they're not going to put Stanton out there. My guess it'll be Clinton Wright. Now, honestly, this is where it gets crazy, because I think they should bench Hicks. Hicks has been pretty bad himself. He's played in 7 games. He is 4 for 27. 2 runs, 1 home run, 5 RBIs, 4 walks, 11 strikeouts to lead the team. 148 average, 258 on base, 259 slugging, 517 OPS. 11 strikeouts is what jumps out the most to me. He's either making weak contact other than his home run, and I feel like his swing might be starting to come around, but he has been brutal. Now, DJ is at least starting to round into shape, but Hicks is the player, especially where he's batting in the lineup, jumps right out. He is almost an automatic out right now, and I'm in a big Hicks defender. When people were shitting on him last year, I kept saying it takes a year to come back from the Tommy John, because look what happened when we had Didi when he came back in his last year with the team. Offensively, he sucked, which was, I'm sure, a main reason why they didn't bring him back. They weren't going to pay him because they were unsure of his production. Now, they had already given Hicks that contract, which is team friendly. People like to shit on the Hicks contract, but $10 million for a good center fielder, that's a steal. When he's on, he's on. But he's not on right now. And maybe we give him a day off too. He's due. He's played in 7 of the 8 games. Let's put Talkman out there in center. Gardner and left today. All right. We'll go with our better defensive team today. And maybe the guys who get to play today will be the catalyst to start jumpstart this offense. Because I'll tell you what, something needs to happen. Changes have to be made. in this lineup. Short term, you can move some guys in and out. Judge, with his general soreness, I don't expect him to play two games in a row on that field. I think if it was up to Boone, he wouldn't have played at all. Maybe played today at the last game of the series. But I think Judge talked himself into the lineup yesterday, and he looked good. He had that, what should have been a double, but hell of a play by the outfielder to cut it off. His swings looked good. He didn't look like he was in any pain. So that's good. That's a positive sign. I'm sure they're going to have to manage him for a while longer until they feel confident enough that he's fully healthy. But like I said, I don't expect him to play today in right field. Maybe as a DH. Maybe just a straight day off. Not sure if Gary plays today because he might need a rest too. So maybe we'll see Higgy play today too. But Gary, folks, Gary has sneakily been fairly effective so far this year. Let's go to his stat line. Gary is 7 for 24. 2 runs, 1 double, 2 home runs, 3 ribbies, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts, which is middle of the pack on this team right now. 292 batting average, 370 on base, 583 slugging, a 954 OPS. That's what you like to see. If he can get... To me, the mark of a good player is the OPS has to be around 900 and up. 850 means you're average. Anything less than that, bottom. OPS is very important to me. It means that you're getting on base and your slugging is high. That's all it is. Which means you're seeing the ball great and you're hitting it a ton. Gary has looked fairly good this year so far, and defensively, surprisingly, has blocked a lot of these balls in the dirt, which I'm sure is the main thing he was working on. And good. Gary, every catcher is going to make the occasional bad play. Of course, with you, it'll be magnified, and that's fine. If you minimize it this year, and you turn into somebody who is reliable, the Yankees are going to re-sign you, and you're going to get your contract. You have to hit, and your defense needs to be better. And he's playing for a contract, so I'm sure he's uber focused. But sneakily been good, and tell you what, he's not been getting shit on a whole lot so far on Twitter. So we shall see what happens down the line. Now, we talked about the moves short term. What moves should be made long term? Okay. Now, as I said, Luga should be gone. There's no reason to keep him on the roster. His magic is done. Bruce, I think it's time to get rid of. That's just my feeling on it. For the occasional home run he's going to give us until Voit comes back, he's brutal. And if you're going to have a lefty guy up there who can occasionally hit a home run, and you might as well have Mike Ford, because at least his first base glove is better. That's just what I think. Maybe I'm in the minority there, but that's a long-term move I would make. Because Voit's going to be the starter when he comes back, and that's very needed. And he's not the greatest first baseman either, but he can make the occasional play. You got arms in the pen. I expect to see some people come up. But for the most part, I think we're there. Herman is going to get work in AAA. and then he'll be back up. But it's up to Garcia, who I think will be his replacement. There's no point in bringing Michael King up just for a bullpen. You're going to need a starter. Why not bring the kid up? Bring him up. It's up to Garcia now. If he wants to remain in the rotation, he has to hold on to it. He's got to be dominant like we thought, and we know he can be. You have to put it in your hands. You can't give Boone and Cashman any reason to get Herman back into this rotation. And we will see how that plays out. I expect that move to be made today. Although there's no rush. We shall see. We have to talk about Judge. He is 30 or about to be 30. And we have another season of him. It'll be another arbitration year, and then he'll be a free agent. The curious case of Judge. We all know how talented he is. We all know, as Michael Kay likes to put it, he is a top five player when healthy. That is the key, is when healthy. And we're going to have plenty of time to discuss this. This isn't going to be his first and only injury. I'm sure there'll be more nagging injuries. And hopefully just nagging and nothing too seriously. And we will have this conversation, I promise you. So until then, I want you to ponder it now. Start thinking about it. I'm going to pose this question to all of you. Would you give him a long-term deal over $300 million? And I know, like me, your initial instinct is to say yes, or your initial instinct is to say no. Okay, because I'm sure it's split now with all this nagging injuries, as General Sordness is the commander-in-chief of the Yankee injuries right now. I don't want you to just throw out any answer that comes to you instinctively. I want you to think about it. Ponder this. And we will talk about this again. Trust me, I know we will. You know we will. We're going to have conversations on Twitter about it. I'm going to talk about it on the show. I just want you to think about that question. Would you give him a long-term deal at $300 million plus? How many years? How much money? What's the annual average? Think about that. Because prior to him being sat down with nagging injuries, when he was playing, he didn't look right in the outfield. He looked like he was dogging it a little bit. I remember specifically that one play against the Orioles where somebody had hit it to right field and he didn't even go hard for it. I understand not wanting to dive and get hurt right now. It's April. I get it. But he dogged it. And when I say that, I mean he didn't bust hard on it. He just kind of lazily was like, ah, I know it's going to drop. I'll pick it up. We're all good. But he was slow. And that bothers me. Dive or don't dive, decide to let the ball drop or lay out and catch it. I'm fine either way. Make a move towards it. Don't just decide off the bat, why run? Even Cole looked like, what the hell, dude? You could have gotten there. And I know his instinct is to be that kind of a player. So to me, that told me that he might be hurt. Right there. Then there was a shot of him with the massager on the side of his ribs and back and everything the other day. And that tells me he's got tightness everybody's hoping it's not an oblique issue, because if it's an oblique issue, then that's going to get bad. And he's going to miss a lot of time. And the biggest challenges on this team right now is to manage the playing time and health of Judge and Stanton to get the most out of these guys. Stanton, we're locked into his deal. There's nothing we can do. He has a limited no trade. He's not going anywhere. But he has been effective this year, and he's been healthy. And we take that and we run with it. Judge is the bigger concern because he plays in the outfield. And he's the heart and soul of this team. He is basically the captain. And we have to decide if him and his injuries overshadow his playing ability, his greatness. And when I say we, not obviously the fans, because we have no say in such matters, but Cashman has to, and you know he's thinking about it, because Cashman, as they like to say, is playing checkers when we're, or playing chess when we're playing checkers. Stupid. He's 10 moves ahead of us. And what does he always say? I remember Cashman a couple years ago, again, on the K Show. Do I listen to the K Show? Yes, I do. Just saying. He was doing an interview with Kay, and the one line he threw out there, and maybe people forgot about it, but it stuck with me. His job, his number one job as a GM, is to find a player better than you. What a great line that is. Basically saying, at some point, I'm going to have to replace you. And it's my job to find the player that's better than you. And probably at a better deal, cost effective. I'm sure has a lot to play with it. But money aside, if I'm going to replace you, it's going to be with a player that I think is better than you. Now, a couple years down the line, I haven't looked at a free agency list, I'm sure. Is there going to be a player, free agency-wise, that is better than Judge? Or somebody who is equal to Judge, maybe not in stature and reputation, but numbers-wise, fairly close, and somebody that Cashman can turn into somebody and pay for a hell of a lot cheaper and less years. Because you know he's thinking about it, and you know he's already looking at it. We have the luxury of being emotional. He does not. Emotion will not come into any decision he makes. He doesn't have to anymore. The core four guys, Joe Torre, all the people we grew up watching, they're long gone. And he has the son telling him to run the team basically the way he wants to run it. The old man is long gone. The old man was emotional. And the old man ran the team like a fan who was just pulling money out of his pocket to make this team better. The son has financial restraints. Cashman knows that. He plays within the rules from the top. But he basically runs this team. There's no emotion with him. Because remember what he said. His job is to find the player that's better than you. And you take that for what it's worth. So ponder that question. And lastly, I will end it on this because we're pushing an hour and I don't really want to go past an hour. But I will say this. Are you tired already of the extra inning rule, runner on second base thing? I understand why they did it. I know it's a time thing. I know they care about the speed of the game, but to me, that is not baseball. That is softball shit, and I know because I play softball. I get the extra running, the runner and extra innings rule in softball, because in a lot of fields, some rec fields that don't have lights, and you're trying to beat the sun on a weeknight, that makes sense. In Major League Baseball, they have lights, they have stadiums, you have TV deals. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I don't have the mentality of people who are trying to grow this game, I feel like, are blowing it. I guess when your target audience has to be younger because the audience you have now are already older, I would say your biggest block is probably 50 and up because they grew up on the game and you have them. They're not going anywhere. Very little that you can do to this game that's really going to make the growing mass decide that they're done watching the game. Now, the individual can do that, but as a whole, you have those people. They're not going anywhere. You're trying to market the game to the next generation, the people in their 20s and younger. You want the kids. I get it. Because you want kids to play the sport. You want families to watch the sport. And you're trying to make it feel like we can get a game, an average game in about 3 hours. And to me, there's ways to make the game fast. I love the pitching clock. I love the amount of time you have to get from the bullpen to the mound. Things like that should speed up the game. Pitchers shouldn't take an average of like 45 seconds to throw a pitch. Get the ball, get set, throw the fucking ball. Let's go. That's where you kill a lot of time. And they're working on that. This extra inning shit. Listen, if a game goes to extras, it's not supposed to go to extras. That doesn't happen every day. There's 9 innings. 95% of the games end in 9 innings. So if a game gets to extra innings, and you're still at the stadium, or you're still watching at home, you've already committed the day. You've committed a day. I know that when I had season tickets, and I used to go, we had a Saturday plan. I've talked about this before. That was a day. Now, granted, I don't live in the city anymore. So I had, you know, to drive 2 hours from Pennsylvania. So we would leave around 9, especially for 1 o'clock game. We would leave at like 9 in the morning. You get there, you know, you want to make sure you don't hit traffic or accidents and you don't want to cut close. You can kill time in the city. So we would get to the stadium around 11, you know, because it's usually going to hit a little bit of traffic. And then we would decide, you know, we're going to eat before the game. So we would go to the Yankee Tavern, which is highly recommended by me. Now, granted, I haven't been there in a few years, but when I used to go, great corned beef sandwiches. That's neither here nor there. So we would have our lunch, we would drink, and then, you know, about 12:20, we'd start making our way to the stadium, get to our seats about game time, and then you're there. I don't know about you. I haven't heard anybody bitch about time of game. I feel like if you're bitching about the time of a game, you're a casual fan. And maybe that's who they want. They want the casual fan. They want somebody to sit there on a weeknight at home, or I assume on a weekend, and be like, you know what? What's on TV? Oh, the Yankees are playing. Or whoever is playing. I'm going to put that on. I got a couple hours to kill. And I feel like if you're marketing to people like that, then you're doing it wrong. Because those are people who are not going to commit. they might watch the occasional game. And to me, that only makes it seem like if the fair weather casual fans are watching your game that day, that's just taking the place of the people who are too busy to watch the game that day. So it's a wash. Where are you growing the audience? You have to start with the kids. And you build them up. Your fan bases are based on tradition. The biggest majority of your fan base is passed down from generation to generation. Now with me and my family, my father was not a Yankee fan. He was more of a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. His brother at the time had worked as a groundskeeper, I believe, so the story goes, at Ebbets Field. So he got to see some Dodger games when he was a kid. And he was a Fairweather fan anyway, but he loved the sport. He just wasn't a fanatic, as he put it. Now, me, I am a fanatic. I'm a Yankee fan. And, you know, I would like to pass that along to my kid. Sadly, he does not share in my love of sports. But as I told him, as long as he does well in school, that's all I care about. So maybe he'll grow into it later on, hopefully. But I'm more enough of a fan for all of us. Other people in my family are Yankee fans too. They watch games. My mom is a Met fan, unfortunately. She probably watches the Met games. These are people you had. You're not losing them. But you need, the game is pure. And the game is like poetry. It flows. And there are highs and there are lows. As the line goes, how can you not be romantic about this sport? If you're romantic about this sport, you want to get the fans. You show them the passion. And you get them young. You show kids growing up, kids just starting to play the sport. You show them every little good thing about what this game can be. And you show them that it will be one of the greatest loves you ever have in your life. And it's a different kind of love. Not love like love for your spouse, love for your kids, love for people in your family. That's a different love. But a passion and a love for a sport, something that means a lot to you. And if you keep tweaking it, you're not showing the passion of the sport, the beauty of the sport. If a game goes 15 innings, so what? I'm committed to it. I'm there. And you deal with it later. I've sat for extra inning games. I've sat for rain delays. I've gone to games that were rained out. I've gone to a playoff game that was rained out. It had to come back the next day. I didn't have any complaint. You do it because you love it. That's how you build the game. You get the kids to love it, to love playing it, to love watching it. It becomes their world. And then as they get older, and they have seen a lot of the great moments that their teams have provided them, and then they pass it along to their kids, and that's how you grow the game. You start marketing to fair weather fans, and what's the point? You're going to lose out on the people who love the game. The universal DH should happen. And I think even staunch National League fucking pitcher hitting people would agree. The occasional home run from a pitcher looks great, makes SportsCenter. It's a conversational piece, but it doesn't happen every day. That is a change that I think everybody will get behind because, one, it's not about the time of the game. It's about the excitement of the game. And maybe they're starting to see that. They're starting to crack down on the pine tar and shit on the pitching. But you know me, I've always said, I'd rather the pitchers have control of the ball than not. Now, if they go back to the original shit, that doesn't increase their spin rate, and it's mainly used for control, then I'm happy with that. I want more offense. I want the Yankees, who is supposed to be an offensive juggernaut, to hit the goddamn ball. Now, when you see video of Means tapping the inside of his glove the other day, and his fingers basically sticking to it, well, that tells me he's putting shit on the ball, and I'm fine with it. And he pitched pretty good, so maybe that had something to do with it. But at the same time, because I know everybody does it. I know they took Bauer's balls the other day, pun intended. And, you know, people went after his agent about it. And she defended her client like she's supposed to. But at the same time, he really hasn't said anything about it. Now he's saying it's a witch hunt, blah, blah, blah. We'll see. Of course, he'd be a hypocrite if he gets busted for cheating. I mean, he'll get more trouble before the Astros ever did. But that's neither here nor there. They make this game great. Offense will draw people in. And maybe the rules should be dictated towards that. But you can't change the game. All right? The runner on second base doesn't fit today's style of game where it's home run or bust. And I'm not just saying that because the Yankees don't seem to win these games. They don't seem to be built for it. It's not because of that. Trust me, it's not because of that. It's infuriating to me, but they have every opportunity to win a game the same as the team who scored before them. So it's fair. It's fair. I'm not complaining about that. I just don't like the rule in general. I don't think you grow the game by that. You're changing the game, and you shouldn't. You're allowing situational to dictate how a game ends instead of letting a clean inning start like it used to be. And maybe they're trying to be cute. Maybe they're trying to be like, that's their hockey version of a shootout. And I don't have an answer. Because anything more than that, I'm sure we'll have injuries. And maybe that's part of the reason, too. Maybe they want to cut down on injuries. If there's a 16-inning game, people are going to get hurt. But how many people actually play a full game? You know what I mean? Who isn't going to get the day off the next day because of it? So injuries are going to happen. You can't manage these people in bubble tape. Maybe you like the rule. Maybe you like it. I'm sure some of you do. I think the majority of you don't. I don't know if baseball's going to keep it. I hope not. But that's my two cents on it. You grow the game by showing the kids the romantic side of baseball, the passion, why you love it. You explain it to them, the memories, the tears, the love, the hate, all of it. It's all rolled up in the one. That's how you grow the game. That's my two cents on it anyway. I'm going to end it there. Went way over than I thought. I appreciate you guys for hanging in. Follow me on Twitter, The Savage Empire Pod. I tend to follow back. We can engage in great conversation. I post a lot of funny GIFs. Subscribe and listen wherever you go. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Enjoy the game today. I will be back next week. That's going to be my recording schedule now. It's either going to be Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings. Once a week, we'll talk about the week that passed. We'll talk about what's coming up. Sorry, I haven't posted an episode since before the season started. I tried to last week. Didn't like the way it came out. I cut it short. Was not having a good day anyway. And the quality of my episode was just dog shit. So I was not going to release that. As I try to be openly honest with everybody. We're all in this together. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks for listening. And go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @ Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees.